Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life.
Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. I'm Linda Lang from ThoughtChange.com, and I'm here today with my guest, Dr. Elena Skyhawk. Elena is a doctor of metaphysics, a shaman, and healer, and we're so happy to have her as our guest. Welcome, Elena.
Well, thank you, Linda. It's great to be here.
Well, I think we've got a really interesting conversation planned today. We're talking about animal spirits, animal totems, power animals. Elena, what got you interested in animal spirits?
Well, Linda, for me, it started when I was probably about 5 years old. I had the ability even then to actually talk to animals and hear them. But in my dream state, I had a bear that kept showing up, and the family would be camping, and the bear would literally attack the family. And for me, because I dream in such vivid color, I would wake up screaming bloody murder, which of course woke the whole family up. And my mom would run into the room and it's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I'd tell her, and she's like, oh, just a dream. Go back to sleep. And it wasn't just a dream, but I didn't find this out until I was like 28 when I met my first metaphysical teacher. She was a medium of Hawaiian heritage, so that's how I also got interested in Huna. But she explained to me what all these dreams were about, and that it was actually my main power animal that was coming in to protect me, because I grew up in a very abusive family. She's a huge Kodiak bear. And so she started showing up, literally tearing the family apart in my dreams. When I was 7, a mountain lion showed up. Same scenario, except we were hiking. And the mountain lion would show up when we were hiking up a mountain, and she'd come over the rocks and she would attack the family and she would leave me alone. And of course, I would wake up screaming bloody murder. And, you know, my mom would again, it's just a dream. And I'm like, no, it's not. So what I learned through all of this, like I said, and it wasn't until I was like 29 or so when I met her, that she explained to me that they were there as my power animals to protect me, so that even though I had lost many soul pieces, the majority of the soul would be able to survive the abuse that I was going through and come out of it and do a turnaround. So that's how I found out about the power animals. Well, of course, I found it so fascinating. I was like, oh my God, I got to learn more. I got to learn what all the animals mean. You know, since I could talk to them, I was like, we got to really understand this. So I taught myself not only how to communicate with them in the dream state and do shamanic journeys to go down and meet the other animals that work with me, or they would just spontaneously show up in dreams, but they would give me messages and they would tell me what direction I needed to look at for whatever I was working on. They would bring gifts to me, whether it was a gift of healing or a gift of knowledge or something that would keep me going on my path. They were there so that I didn't stray. It helped kind of hone my abilities to figure out what the animals are here to teach us, because long ago we used to communicate with them. Everybody could, you know, and it was only our egos that have gotten in the way, who has, you know, we felt that we're above the animals. And so we cut off communications. I'm one of those that it's like, oh no, I find more fun talking to the animals sometimes than I do with people. They do have so much to teach us, learning about some of the other power animals, or people will come to my workshop that I teach on it, and their animal will come out to be an ant or something like that. And then of course the next person has a lion or a tiger, and they're like, but I want that. And it's like, but you have to look at what the information that an ant has to tell you. Because if you look at the behavior of an ant, it's in a community. They're very meticulous. They follow the rules. And it's like, you know, they answer to the queen, and they can pull or carry, what is it, like 10 times their body weight in food to bring it back. And so they're, they're like, even like the bees do the same thing. You know, the way they have these communities, and they know their, kind of like they know their place. But when you look at the ant, it's like, look at your own life and see what in your life needs to be more structured, what needs to be more organized.
So Elena, it's a really powerful story you have on how you got indoctrinated into the way of animal medicine. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a lot of children actually that dream about animals, and it's not necessarily really comfortable for them. What I find really interesting is that you didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to call the animal in. You didn't have to request help. I've heard some teachers say that in order to receive the help from spirit, that you have to invite the help in. But here you were, a young child, and it just happened naturally for you.
It did, mainly because for me, the bear has been with me for so many lifetimes. She is me and I am her. I mean, we're like totally intertwined kindred spirits. And some people that I've never even met, I made a medicine bag for somebody once for her graduation as a minister. And she actually came back to somewhere back east where she was from, that she was being ordained. And she happened to take the medicine bag with her, and her teacher touched it. And she goes, oh my God, this was made by a bear shaman. And she was like, how in the world can you tell? And she was like, because her energy is the bear. The bear is her and she is the bear. And when she makes things, that energy goes into that medicine bag or anything else she makes. So somebody I have never even met was actually able to feel the power of my bear. And she is my protector. And that's one of the reasons why she showed up. Because in some sense, the ego, my human self, was crying out for help, because she could see I was being abused, and she came in to protect her asset, so to speak, because she was me and I'm her. So I didn't need to physically ask. She's like, oh no, you're not messing with mine. She's mine. You're not messing with her.
I think that's amazing. And probably shifted the path of your life, really.
Oh, it did. I mean, especially once I understood why, because then I understood, oh my God, she wasn't there to scare the crap out of me. And I actually had a physical encounter with the bear and with a mountain lion. And it was kind of funny, because when I was six, we were in Yellowstone at one of those overlook places, and everybody started screaming and running for their cars. And we're like, what the heck's going on? And up over the edge of the cliff came a bear. And she kind of like stopped, and she literally kind of like looking at everybody, and she honed in on us and started coming after us. Well, my dad was way out in front of everybody. My mom was right behind him. And then my older brother, who was seven, and then me, and my grandma was behind us with my three-year-old brother. And literally when she was running, he was flying out behind her, because we were trying to get away from this bear. And so by the time I got to the car, my mom and dad were safely in the car. So was my older brother. I opened up the door so my grandma could toss my younger brother in, and she climbed in, and so did I, and I shut the door. And just as I shut the door, the bear hit the car.
That was pretty close.
And you could hear the whoop as she hit, and then she came down and she looked right at me and she said, are you okay? So even in the wild, she knew from my bear spirit that there was something going on, and she chased us down. It was like my nightmare came true. But again, she was like, are you okay?
Maybe it would be good to define for us what a power animal is for people who don't understand animal medicine or totems.
Well, we all have power animals, whether we realize it or not. And even as children, we are drawn to certain animals. You know, people will be drawn to either birds or maybe butterflies or frogs or pigs or something like that. And they don't understand why, but they need to, when their parents go buy them a stuffed animal, they always go to the little piggy, you know, or something like that. And it's an indication that there is a connection between you and that animal. Normally, as an adult, you have to go on a shamanic journey to ask for them to step forward so that you can see who they are. But what they do for us is they give us the medicine of that animal. Like in my bear, for instance, for me, she's my protector. She's pretty much everything. If anybody messes with me, she will show up. And other animals, they could be showing up in your life. You could be drawn to them because maybe you're on your soul quest, you're looking for guidance or knowledge from some of your past lives. You know it's there. You can kind of feel it there, but they might be there to bring it in, like a horse. When a horse comes in and you keep seeing horses in your dreams, or you just run into it, like if you don't own one and it just keeps showing up, look at the freedom. Do you feel like you're being tied down and you need more freedom in your life? You know, you have to look at what the animal it's trying to teach you. You know, like a coyote, especially, they're fun. Because I have coyotes show, especially when I lived in Arizona, they would just show up out of nowhere and they'd look at me like, oh God, something's going to happen today. Coyote can be seen as two ways. They're known as the trickster, but they can also come in and say, hey, you know, you need to lighten up. You're taking life too seriously. You're taking yourself too seriously and you need to lighten up and have some fun. In my case, they would always show up when something bad was going to happen at work. Darn that coyote. So they basically give us the power. If we're missing our power animals for whatever reason and we have not stayed in contact with them, you'll find in your own life that you can't seem to move forward, that things just don't work out for you the way you think they should, or you know, you assume they should be because you're doing dotting the I's and crossing the T's and things still aren't working. So you have to look to see, is my power animal still working for me or with me? Have I disconnected from that animal?
So what I'm hearing from you is that your power animal can come to you either through dreams, through actual physical sightings or interaction, or if they have a message in particular for you, that they can kind of just show up temporarily, like that you have an animal that maybe follows you through your whole life, and then you have animals that maybe come and go depending on projects or situations in your life.
Yes.
And that we can actually use their medicine, their wisdom for inspiration and guidance.
Yes, we have our main power animal. Your main one usually goes with you from lifetime to lifetime. It's always been with you and it will continue to be with you. Then you have maybe a theme. Maybe there's something that you're working on, whether it's a business or something like that, and it'll show up to help you, guide you through that, and then it'll go away. You might have a messenger. If there's an immediate message from spirit that they're trying to get through to you, a messenger will come through, or you know, whether it's a hawk or an eagle or a butterfly, or maybe you have somebody on the other side that's trying to get you a message, and maybe they were a big fan of butterflies, and all of a sudden you're just surrounded with butterflies and you can feel all this love, and it's like, oh, that's grandma, or that's, you know, my aunt or something like that. So we also have a birth totem. So depending on what month of the year you were born in, there is an animal assigned to your birth month, you know, kind of like esoteric astrology, where, you know, you're a Gemini or a Libra or something like that. Well, in Native traditions, the different moons, you have an animal assigned to them. So depending on when you were born, you have a specific animal.
And so that animal would follow you.
Yeah, just through this lifetime. It won't go into the next one with you, because if you come back again, you'll be born in a different month, which means a different animal totem will guide you with, you know, through that particular lifetime.
And so is that birth totem, is that more for kind of character traits, or do they actually have messages and guidance for you as well?
They can be both. Just like your sun sign, there are certain characteristics to each of the birth months, and the months are combined into clans. Let's say for you, for example, your birth month is otter, and you're a member of the butterfly clan. So you have four different clans for each of the, you know, there's three? Let me think. Yeah, because you have four clans. So in each clan, there will be 3 months out of the year that belong to that clan.
And so otter, tell me a little bit about otter. I'm curious.
Well, otter, when you look at an otter, what is the first thing you see?
They love to swim. Yeah. Yes,
they love to swim, and they're very playful. Yeah. They're also very nurturing. If you've ever watched a mother otter with their baby, you know, they're very nurturing. They support the baby when they, you know, teach it to swim. They can be, if you've ever watched one, they can be a little mean sometimes, it looks like, because they'll literally dunk the baby.
Tough love.
Yeah, they literally will dunk it down in the water to get it used to being able to swim underwater. But what most people, when they look at an otter, they do. It's like, again, it's kind of like that coyote. It's like, have fun, be playful, you know, lighten up. And most people that are, you know, have otter as a totem, they do love the water. So they're very much into like water skiing, boating, maybe, you know, even ice skating, because again, it's still that connection to the water. So again, you look at the traits of what that totem has to say for the message of what your lifetime. So they're here to teach us lessons, and hopefully we learn them while we're here. Otherwise, we might end up getting born back into that same month if we miss something.
I think it's fascinating. How can connecting with your power animal, whether it's the birth one or any of the other totems that are here to help us, how can we actually receive their help?
Depending on what you're working on, first and foremost, you ask. You know, it's just like spirit guides or angels or anything. If your life is in danger, they will step in to protect you. And my instance with the bear as a child, that's why she started showing up without me really asking, because I was in danger. If you're in danger and it's not your time to leave, they will step in to protect you at all costs so that you can grow up and do what you came here to be. Same with spirit guides, angels, they do the same thing. If you're not in danger, you do have to ask. Most of the time, when you put a message out to spirit and let them know that you're interested in working with the animals and learning more about the animals, they will just start popping up randomly if you're open to receiving their message. And a lot of times, they just come in for the love. You know, the hummingbirds do that. Because if you watch what happens when a hummingbird comes into people, they're like, oh, they're in such awe and beauty, because everybody loves the hummingbird. And that's what the hummingbird is about, is joy. Depending on what you're working on, who knows what's going to show up.
So once upon a time, I had taken a shamanic journey to receive a spirit name. And in that journey, I found myself in the middle of the cosmos, out in space, and there was this giant spider web that kind of connected all the planets and the stars. And there was almost like dew in places on the spider web. And it just shone like diamonds or like stars. And whenever the spider wanted to manifest something or create something. It just vibrated a string on its web create whatever it was their desire was. And so now I work with spider as a totem. And when I see a lot of spiders, I know that it's time to create something, whether that's, you know, writing, doing art, making something creative. So that's how I use one of my totems. Of course, I think we all have a number of totems.
Yes, we do.
So that's just one. So I get to play with otter and create with spider.
Yeah. Hey, that works.
That works. So if people were interested in finding more about their power animal or a particular totem they have, how would they do that?
They can contact me through my website. So it's www.spiritual-shaman.com. I also have on my YouTube channel a bunch of the different totems up there already that explains what their messages are, what they're here to teach us. I think I have goose up there right now and squirrel. So little by little, they're getting put up on my YouTube channel so that people can learn more from that.
So for anybody that's born in February, otter is your totem. So you can look at playing and also having the ability to go deep, do the deep dive to collect that food for your spirit or your soul.
And actually with the otter, it only goes up to February 18th. From January 20th to February 18th.
It's actually fairly close to astrology.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because once you get into February 19th, then you're talking the wolf.
If you're interested in learning your birth totem, you could definitely reach out to Elena.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been really interesting. I'm sure you have a ton of experiences you could share with us, Elena, about animals and just life in general. This has been Linda from ThoughtChange.com, and we hope you enjoyed our episode. Bye for now.